cut out all of the miracles that Jesus did and produced a book about Jesus without any miracles in it. Now, that's quite extreme. But recent research says that 25% of Christians, that's a quarter of Christians, deny the resurrection. They don't believe it. Now, that might just be nominal Christians. I didn't read that far into it. But 25% of Christians deny the resurrection. And there is quite a lot of extraordinary things go on. When Jesus dies, the temple curtain tears on its own. 3 days later, a man comes back to life. A little bit later on in the story, he floats back up to heaven. There's a lot of things that on face value are quite hard to believe and seem bonkers. We can take that slide away now. But let's think about the resurrection for a minute. Some people I've heard say that Jesus didn't actually die. That's how the resurrection might have happened. Well, Jesus was crucified by the Romans, who were some of the best, to put it bluntly, the best killers of all time. They made it their mission to inflict a lot of pain on people. And when they were going to kill somebody, they normally ended up dead. In fact, with Jesus, the Bible records that he had died, and that just to make sure, they stuck a spear in his side, just to make sure he was finished off. And in those days, there wasn't particularly good healthcare to help him when he had a big wound in his side. It's very likely that Jesus actually did die. There have been stories since the first century that Jesus's body was stolen and that people made it up. Now, if it was the disciples that stole the body, then they would have had to overpower some Roman soldiers who we thought are some of the best soldiers that were around, probably the best at that time. So they would have had to overpower some Roman soldiers. They would have had to push back an enormous stone. They would have had to unwrap the body so it's now naked and then carry it through the streets to wherever they hid it. To me, that sounds rather unlikely. It could have also been, some people have said, that the religious rulers stole the body. But then why didn't they produce the body when Christianity was kicking off and they wanted to quash it? And some people, like Gary Lineker's sentiment, say it's just all made up. Well, the Bible records that at one time, 500 people saw Jesus and agreed that they saw Jesus. And I don't know about you, but it's quite hard to get 10 people to agree on something. So to get 500 people to agree on something was a pretty marvelous thing indeed. And it's also recorded in other historical texts that people saw Jesus alive as well. But there's an important point to this. Can I have my second slide up, please? Roughly 20 or so years after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in Greece. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, "And if Christ wasn't raised to life, our message is worthless, and so is your faith." The Apostle Paul thought that the resurrection was so important, this bonkers story was so important, that it was the pivotal point of our faith. So denying this is denying the Christian faith. And as we heard read, the disciples are in this room. Jesus appears to them, and they're just overjoyed. They're absolutely amazed, but overjoyed. And I'm sure they don't fully comprehend what it means at this time. But one of the disciples, Thomas, wasn't there on that first, let's call it Easter day. That Thomas wasn't there. And when the other disciples excitedly tell him, "We've seen Jesus," their absolute amazement, he's having none of it. To him at that moment, it's a bonkers story. And he says, "Unless I can touch the wounds in his hands and in his side, which is quite gross and unhygienic, but nevertheless, he wants to touch his hands and his side so that he would believe. And Thomas, ever since, for hundreds of years, has been called Doubting Thomas. I think this is rather unfair, actually, particularly in light that 25% of Christians don't believe in the resurrection. Thomas is the one that gets labeled Doubting Thomas. But a week later, they're in the room again, and Thomas is with them, and Jesus appears again. Now, Jesus says to him, "You can touch my wounds in my hands and my side." But I think art has lied to us here. Lots of famous paintings of Thomas and Jesus all show Thomas actually going up with his finger to kind of touch Jesus in the hand or the side. But the Bible doesn't record that. The Bible just says that as soon as, or it gives the sentiment at least, that as soon as Thomas sees Jesus, he says this amazing thing. He says, "My Lord and my God." He doesn't actually need to put his hands in the wounds after all. He just says this amazing sentiment, "My Lord and my God." Now, John's Gospel starts in the very first chapter saying that Jesus is God. And John's Gospel finishes near enough with Thomas claiming that Jesus is God. You see, God came to give everything. He gave up everything, including his life, so that we can have life. And this is also reflected in John's Gospel. And in the first chapter, it says, "Everything received life from him." In the third chapter of John's Gospel, it says that Jesus gives eternal life to those who believe in him. In John chapter 10, it says that Jesus came to give life to the full. With Jesus, there is life. There is life to the full. There is eternal life. There is life in a relationship with God. We sang about in one of the songs there, there's no fear of hell, no scheme of man. We don't need to worry about our final destination with Jesus, because we have life in him. We have eternal life. And he offers life to the full now. But what does that look like? It looks like spiritual wholeness. It looks like physical and emotional life, that Jesus is there to walk with us. There's freedom to the oppressed. There's help for the needy. There's a world that is cared for. There's so much possibility. You see, Thomas believed because he could actually see the evidence there. He could see it. It was no longer a bonkers story to him. But Jesus said to Thomas, "The really blessed people are the ones who haven't seen and believe." The really blessed people are us. We've not seen Jesus. We've not seen his hands and his feet. But yet, we believe. So I wonder what your reaction to Jesus' resurrection is, to this amazing story. Is it a bonkers story, similar to Gary Lineker's sentiment? It might be true. Kind of, he changes the tune at the end. It might be true. Or are you somebody who says, "My Lord and my God"? You see, that last one is the way of life. And as we saw with the little demonstration beforehand, the life isn't just something we can enjoy for ourselves. It's something to be shared round about. Jesus came and he gave the disciples a mission to share that life with others. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. He empowered them, so they weren't doing it alone. That life was to be shared with other people. It sounds like an amazing and huge responsibility, but I believe it's the way to fulfillment. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," is the way of life.